Second Testament reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew. And when I find it on the sheet, I'll tell you what page it's on. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and can be found on page 15 in the Bibles that are in the pew racks. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such a great crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." This too is the word of the Lord.
Are we live?
You're live.
I'm just about to embark on vacation, so I thought I'd try something different and just be a little lower and closer to the community. And if this really bugs you, then you'll have 3 weeks to get over it. Because I'll be gone. I'll be in Pennsylvania. You can send the letters to Tana. Way back on September 12th, 2010, I know I'm not a tall guy, so those people in the balcony, I'm sorry. Way back on September 12th, 2010, I suggested that we take on some major themes for the academic year of 2010-2011. The year of living radically. I also called it the year of living rootedly. And I named three ways that we could be rooted or radical in the way that we shaped our Christian journeys over the past 8 or 9 months. Anyone remember any of those three themes? It was radical blank, radical blank, and radical blank. Anyone? This is why I'm closer to the floor, too, so I can hear all these great answers. Radical listening? No, sorry, Will. But it's a good guess, and you're brave for guessing. Radical welcome! Yes, that was number one, radical welcome. Secondly was radical generosity. See, that pillow talk pays off. My wife had that answer right there. Radical welcome, radical generosity. And the third one was, I think the third one was probably the hardest to remember. Radical submission, which I called radical reverence. Us being reverent to God and therefore reverent to one another, or submissive to God and submissive to one another. There's that passage in the scripture that says, submit your lives to Christ, one another as you submit your lives to Christ. So those were the three big themes that I was trying to have us play with over the year. And so during the preaching and teaching, I would once in a while just touch on those and say, don't forget, we're trying to be this welcoming, generous, reverent community. And I don't know how those themes might have played out for you over the past several months, but, you know, that's a part of who we are and who we're trying to become. To be this place of generosity, to be this place of welcome, to be this place where we do love and submit to one another as we love and submit to our Lord together. So today we're going to use the parable from Matthew 13 to press further in to this idea of generosity. Now, parables are interesting quasi-stories. And so I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about parables, because if you've read News and Notes over the past few weeks, I've been encouraging us to read Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew in the lectionary readings for the next 19 weeks. So if you want to take on a gospel for the summer and the fall, as we finish out the lectionary year, read Matthew. And you're going to stumble across some pretty great parables once Matthew 13 starts. And so just as you're reading through parables, and some of us are going to be preaching through the parables in the next several weeks, just some tips for reading parables. Parables are like open-ended riddles. And so when you're reading a parable, don't get caught up in what does this mean and just try to be a figure-outer. Like, don't be so Protestant, like I was saying a couple weeks ago. Try to embrace the mystery of what's going on with these riddles. Instead of asking, what does this mean, ask, where do I find myself being drawn into this story? And where am I surprised, maybe convicted, baffled, or intrigued by this story? The word parable in Greek is parabola, which means to lay down alongside. And so some commentators say when we're reading the parables, allow the story to just lay down alongside your life and then see what kind of grows as you lay down the story alongside your life. So that's more mystery. That's not neat and tidy, and we're not going to all get the same messages from the parables. So we've heard the parable today, but I want you to hear it once again in a different translation, just so you get really familiar with this important parable. On that day, Jesus came out of the house and sat down by the lake. And so many people gathered around him that he got a little boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the beach. And he taught them many things in parables, saying, "Look, the sower went out to sow. And while he was sowing, some seed fell along the footpath, and the birds came and gobbled them up. Other seed fell on top of the rocky soil where there was not much earth, and immediately they sprang up because they did not have deep earth. And when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they did not have any roots, they withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with them and choked them. But other seed fell right on top of the earth, the good earth, and they were regularly bearing fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Let the person who has ears to hear listen." So as we lay this riddle alongside our lives, I want to challenge you in the days and weeks ahead with these parables. What is God bringing to life? C.H. Dodd, the scholar, the New Testament scholar, said, "After the strangeness of this riddle simmers, how is our heart, our soul, and mind teased into active thought?" So after this riddle simmers, how are our hearts, our minds, and our souls teased into active thought? And so as we're listening, I want to offer two extra thoughts. One is a caution. Let us not bring to life shame and obligation. So as you're laying this riddle alongside your life, the product shouldn't be shame and obligation. You shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't feel like you're not good enough soil. Don't just try to change yourself and change soil. I was thinking, don't try to be better soil in the weeks ahead. So I don't think the riddle's trying to bring that to life. And is it really possible to be better soil? Are there any gardeners out there who can help me? Can soil change itself? I was thinking no. Alan, Jess, you just planted stuff this week in our garden. Can soil change itself? What does soil need to change itself? Sorry, what?
Loving care.
Compost? What were you saying, Alan? Compost. Okay, so stuff from outside needs to change soil. You have to add to. It just doesn't change itself. So don't try to, so as you're bringing this riddle to life, don't just try harder. As you're trying to bring this riddle to life, I want to encourage you to bring to life generosity. That's why I'm wanting to talk about generosity in a deeper way this morning. Radical, rooted generosity. And during the weeks ahead, as you're in summer mode, hopefully taking a Sabbath rest, hopefully doing not all the things you must, ought, should, or have to do. That's what it means to take Sabbath. Perhaps God, by His Spirit, will bring to life things from this riddle around the theme of generosity. And I want to put this under three directions for generosity. Generosity together, generosity inward, and generosity outward. And you've heard me talk about spiritual formation in the same way. What does spiritual formation look like for us together? What does the spiritual formation look like in the inward journey? And then what does spiritual formation look like on the outward journey? So let's tag generosity with those three movements. Generosity together. And so even in the Sabbath weeks ahead, what might God stir for us to be this generous people together? And I don't know what that is yet. Maybe it's pressing into the corporate things that we already do together, mustard seed or ESL, our partnership with MCN, the Karen Church, E4C, even Jeremy's talked about our growing partnership with the Marion Center. Maybe we'll continue to be inspired to do corporate generosity with these organizations. So that's generosity together. Then there's generosity inward. What will it look like for us to be inspired to grow in our generosity inward? There's that campfire-y Christian song, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." It's even in our hymnal. I remember seeing a top five list of the top five worst Christian campfire songs, and that was on it. Because it's kind of this dirgy E minor tune. "They'll know, it's haunting, we are Christians by our love, by our love." But I thought, they will. What if we change that last word and maybe change the tune? They will know we are Christians by our generosity. The generosity that journeys inwards here in this place with Christ and with one another. It's no secret that the most effective way for the evil one to wreak havoc in the church is from within. And if you've been a part of a church or been in church land for the past several decades, you may have been a part of a church split or church division. And I found that one of my first experiences with church division, it wasn't because these hissing demons were swooping in from the rafters, taking us all away and messing us up. It was pretty ordinary people like you and me with pretty good hearts trying to be Christians, somehow getting worked up about something, and then there being a right team or a right way, and there being a wrong team in a wrong way, and in the end, someone has to pay. And it's either part of the congregation, or it's a pastor, or it's a church council, but someone's got to pay. And so that's why it's so important for us to journey inwards and be this generous people. And maybe the most powerful weapons of our warfare in the next several months together will be being this radically generous people to one another. Maybe it'll be taking that extra minute to think before we speak. Maybe it'll be taking that extra night to sleep on it before we talk about it. Maybe it'll be taking that extra day to pray about it. or that extra week to let the issue be fallow in the hands of God rather than taking it into our own hands. So that's generosity inward. Finally, I want to talk about generosity outward. And in our journey of generosity outward, let's press into this riddle about the sower. And let's be generous with good news, the good news of the gospel. Because this parable of the sower is really a story about generosity. It's this God who is so generous that this God throws the seed everywhere. And so can we be that generous people this summer? In these fallow months of summer where we're allowing this riddle to bring things to life in us, how can we be generous outward? I don't know how that will come to life, maybe individually or as different sectors of our church or maybe big things that we do together corporately. But what will it look for us to be this generous group of people who are following Jesus for the good of the world? Can we imagine a God who is like this sower? Recklessly, crazily, indiscriminately, foolishly throwing the seed everywhere and not caring where it ends up, because this God believes that generosity rules, that something will happen out of this posture of abundance, this posture of giving, this posture of generosity. And so then in our journey of generosity outwards, then let's follow this sower. We believe that God is on the move, already planting these seeds out there everywhere. He goes ahead of us. Mysteriously and marvelously, he goes ahead of us. And so we follow him, and our Christian vocation then is to be foolish, to be lavish, and to echo the words of love, to echo the words of God's mercy, to echo the words of God's compassion, to echo the words of God's forgiveness. So in a closing couple of minutes here, will we allow this riddle to just lay beside our lives? And maybe there'll just be some little inklings that we get today, but these inklings will then grow naturally, they'll grow joyfully in the days and weeks and summer fallow months that lay ahead, of how we might join the generous sower. I'm going to close with Isaiah 55. We've already heard a word from Isaiah 55. Isaiah says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live." In a time of silent reflection, just about a minute or 90 seconds, let us who have ears hear the generous and lavish word of the Lord. Let us sit with this parable, this riddle, let us lay it alongside our lives and see what this generous God wants to start bringing to life.